Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Snickerdoodle, shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many cheeks? Snickerdoodle, shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Change the world, there's nothing to
heart. My name is Ombasa Sofiro. Welcome to the Clay Experience. I am one with all beauty, all justice, all honor, all wisdom, and all love. We thank you for joining us today. I love this love, love, love. I can't say it enough. I love this music. Heart, compassion. Can you feel it? Can you feel the love that's in the air right now, permeating in and out as you breathe? The last song that you heard before Heart is Julie Dexter's Rhythm Daughter. And you can find that music on juliedexter.com. Before that, one of my favorites, Karen Drucker, There Is Only Love. And truly, that is the only thing that really is real. And you can find her music at KarenDrucker.com. And then at the top, of course, you always have to have a pure imagination. And that's what George Spirillis brings us. And you can find his beautiful music. He brings it every week from the top. Pure imagination. You can find his music at EVisinVictorZoneMusic.com. Well, we have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful show today. We have someone else, just another love spirit to introduce to you on this playground of life, the play experience. She is a wonderful, beautiful person who has a passion. Well, I'm going to let her tell you about herself, but I'm going to just tell you that she is the founder of the Center of Love and Joy. She's a teacher, a spiritual counselor, an energy therapy practitioner who understands the effect of what the higher vibration brings to us. And a lot of times we forget because we see things that happen around us and we just forget who we are. We forget whose we are. We forget why we exist. And Irene has a finger on the pulse of that, and she will tell you more about that. She's, like all of us, are playing on this playground of life. But why I invited her on the playground today was because we have a theme that we're working with right now, and it is about embracing love, the love of ourselves. The PLAY acronym means passionately loving, appreciating you. And Irene is a great teacher of that by living and experiencing the contrast of it and then bringing in the truth. And so I love, love, love bringing her to you right now. I'll have her tell you all about the children that she works with, why she's here, why she exists. And I'm going to be quiet now and say, I embrace you, my love. Irene, are you there?
I am here, beloved. How are you today?
Oh, can you feel it? Can you feel the love in the air?
Oh, love, I feel the love. I feel it all around us. Yep, absolutely. I got it. I got it.
Yes.
Vibrating.
Hey. So, yes. So, Irene.
Yes, ma'am.
The first thing I ask anybody on the playground, tell everyone else on the playground who they are. So, who is Irene Cabot?
Wow. Well, I am an evolving spirit, as we all are on this planet at this time. And, you know, always changing, always growing. You mentioned contrast. So, you know, sometimes the growth is easy and quick and, you know, sprouting like a weed. And then sometimes it just takes a little longer to get those extra things getting started. But it's all good. We're all going in divine order, growth and development. And that's exactly... That's why I'm here right now, you know, is to explain that evolution, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, we thank you for coming to explain the evolution, because we all need it. We're always evolving. There's no moment where we're not. There's no moment where we're not having to experience what life is offering us. And then it's not about what happens to us, it's how we deal with it, how we are looking at it, whether we're willing to pivot and turn to the left and look at it through this particular light, you know, this particular color, you know, because it can change in any moment. So I am wondering if you could share with everyone about the Center of Love. Am I saying it right? The Center of Love and Joy?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. The Center of Love and Joy,
that?
Well, actually, the name was given to me by a most beautiful teacher. I kind of wanted to go with the Children of Light Healing Center, and she said, you might want to rethink that, Ed. And I said, okay. And I said, well, what would you call it? And she said, the Center of Love and Joy. And what she's taught me is that the Center of Love and Joy is in the heaven of our hearts presently at any time. But it's coming into the physical realm, and we need it to be a place now for our children to meet and to see themselves as the evolving piece that they are, you know, and helping their parents to see them as the evolving piece that they are, because you know, each generation comes in with a higher vibration than the one before. And you might have noticed, I don't know about your family, but in my family, we didn't, we grew up Catholic, which worked for me, was perfectly fine. You know, I found my love in Christ that way, so I'm very blessed. But we didn't know anything about meditation. We didn't know about going within, about living your life from a more peaceful experience. It pretty much was you deal with whatever came. And our families both came, you know, from Europe and through the war there, and came in very tight with, well, even worse than tight. My mother was homeless at times. You know, came through a very hard time in life, and our awareness and our consciousness is changing, and, you know, cooperation is usurping competition, and just the sensitivity that these children have is causing them distractions, so we're sometimes not seeing them correctly, but they are meant to be here so that we open up to more of the oneness within all of us. Well, how beautiful will it be if we become so compassionate that it hurts us to hurt somebody else? We can't hurt someone else because it would hurt us. And we lose our callousness and we open up truly to the loving heart that we are, you know, because we truly are just, we are love.
Yes, we are.
And as I have evolved in teaching over 30 years, because I was in the public school system, I taught physical education, and I watched the children develop, and, you know, sometimes the parents feeling lost and the teachers and the school system not knowing what to do with these children that are being so easily distracted and are being labeled and diagnosed with attention deficit disorder. And they're not in disorder. They're in divine order. The thing is that we need to kind of see them through a different filter so we understand their purpose and can see really and help them be the change they came to bring into the world.
And that's beautiful, and it's like my friend so wonderfully said yesterday to me, we need to go to the heart quarters, not the headquarters, because we've been in the head too long. So we need to now go to the heart quarters, and if we can get all those children, come on through the door, let's go to the heart quarters, let's meet at the heart quarters, everybody come be rejuvenated. Don't let yourself be swayed by your environment. You know, we used to work with children in different parts of the world, in the U.S. as well as in Europe. And all the children everywhere are exactly the same. They have to go home, and they have to deal with whatever. We were bringing in a reinforcement of the love that you're talking about. And then when they go back home, they get into the forgetting and the loss of memory that their parents have attained over the years. And it's no blame, it's no shame, it's no guilt. There may be some pain that involved in the stretching and the growing that has to be done, which is why after working so many years with children that we started saying, okay, well, now we see what's happening here. So it's time to bring the adults to help them to do a pivot, and maybe even some of them an about face. Because in that 360-degree order of evolvement and spiraling that we have to, this is a must, whichever way we would choose to accept it. And so the children are really at only when we don't address the totality of the issue, you know, because they know, they come knowing who they are. They have no mistake about who they are. And so when we start addressing the stress that comes into the lives, you know, because of what the adults have bought into and said, this is part of who I am. This is just who I am. This is, you know, you hear people saying it all the time. That's just who I am. That's the way I was raised. That's where, you know, it's like a badge, you know.
Mm-hmm,
and everybody,
mm-hmm.
when it's time, we get in that room. What we want to push now in this lifetime is to have everyone come in and just take the badge off. You know, it doesn't. You don't have to have a badge. You really don't. But if you choose
right.
to have one, let it be a love badge. Be wear a badge of love if that's what you're going to do. You know, so it's the playing and the bringing them into that passionately loving and appreciating themselves will help them to bring them to that about face to be able to see their children in the same light. You know.
Oh, absolutely. You said that so beautifully, and the parents are a part of Center of Love and Joy. It can't be without them. It's a teaching learning center, and it's a combination of relearning, reteaching, and listening. One of the things that I have found is, as you just said, the children know. You know, and the more I listen to them, the more wisdom I learn and the more sure I am that they already know. They need some guidance and they need validation. And what happens with the parents, because I am a parent of a sensitive child, I went through the school system thinking my child was broken. And she taught me, and I learned, you know, coming through the hard way, through the struggle and the fear and the sense of helplessness and hopelessness, thinking that my child... She doesn't fit into this box. What am I going to do with her? How is she going to make a living and get along in the world? She's such a beautiful, sensitive child, and she goes to school and cries her heart out. She can't focus and she can't function. She's as smart as she can be, and she's not, you know, she's not performing. And, you know, she taught me, and we had to go through our growth and development so that I would be able to teach others. And she's now doing absolutely magnificently. She's the light she came to be in the world, recently married and is looking to go to medical school, so she's got big plans. But it was through our struggle and my actually being in that situation that opened up my heart so much to the parents. And one of the things that does happen when I'm with the parents and the children is we sit in communication together. Because... you know, I have my intuitive abilities. When they're speaking, and because I went through this frustration with my own child who's highly sensitive, when I sit with the parent and child, I'm able to hear them on more than one level. So when the child asks the parent a question and the question is answered, and I already can know, I feel that the parent did not answer that question for the child. So I will go back and I ask the child, you know, did your mom or dad answer that question for you? And when it's no, then we go over, you know, okay, well, what happened? And I can help the parent be guided into better conversation with their child. Because one of the things that happens with these sensitive children, a lot of times they shut down. And it's difficult even for their parents to speak to them, especially as they grow older and have experienced the... getting emotionally beaten up in the school system and being told they don't have what they need and that they're not, you know, doing as well as other children, and most of these children are highly intelligent. So there's a lot of frustration that goes along with being, you know, a highly sensitive child. And as I said before, one of the things that I bring is I can validate for them that this is who they are. I ask them questions about what they feel and see in the world, and I validate for them that's a beautiful gift that you could feel that you could see that. You know, mostly it's about other people's feelings, but and to be able to do that means you're here for a higher calling and to help and to be helpful. So it's a joy for me, but the parents are the key, and so many more parents are open and ready. And already see their children as sensitive and not broken. So that's already taken care of. It's those people we need to come in and to be in community so that they can help the other parents. There are a lot of parents that are in their frustration, and I can help them because I was there. I lived through that pain of being helpless and feeling that I couldn't help my child. That was the worst feeling I ever had in my life. And to be able to say that parent, it's okay. As, you know, Maya Angelou told Oprah, and Oprah taught me on her show, when you know better, you do better. And that's really the whole premise. There's a lot more about going into their hearts, into that heart knowledge, and actually being able to send the higher vibrations of love and light. And it's so important at this time. I want to tell you a story. I was teaching peace education, and I was in the class with third grade students, and I already knew that this one little boy was ADD. I had him in class before in my physical education class, and we were talking about feelings. And in this time period of talking about feelings, he started getting a little antsy when we were talking about anger. And I said, okay, duly noted, I noticed that. And then we started going into under anger, there's always another feeling. What if it's sadness? And the classes talk a little bit about sadness, and he was getting more antsy, and he turned around and tried to engage the girl behind him. And I said, okay, this is not going to be a good thing here. But immediately I understood why he was getting antsy. And I said to him, Gregory, when someone in your class feels sad, do you feel that? And he turned around and looked me dead in the eye, and he said, yes, with a recognition for himself that I don't think was ever done before. And that recognition is the validation. That's exactly where I want these children to be and to know and to learn who they are, and then to teach them how to send love and light to the child who's feeling sad without even leaving their chair. And this is all exactly what, you know, I help the children understand and the parents do, and that's what the Center of Love and Joy is all about, you know, meeting and greeting each other and being in a learning and teaching environment.
That is really so important in life. I think that validating the stories of that we all have is really, really key. Now, we're going to take a quick break. And then once we get back, I have some wonderful other questions for you because I know you have the answer. Are you ready?
I am ready, my sister. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Mom?
Dad?
You think if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head.
Your pumpkin face. Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
Sure, it'll change our relationship.
It'll make us closer.
And go to fourparents.gov.
For help on how to talk about sex.
This is important.
Tell me to wait to have sex.
And don't worry.
I'll always be your muffin head.
Your cuddle bug.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
We're back. We've returned to the playground of life, the play experience. I am Ombasa Sulfira, and I'm here with my playmate, my wonderful friend, Irene Cabot. Irene, are you here?
I am, Ombasa. Thank you for having me today.
Yes, here and live and present and accounted for. Is that correct?
I hope so. I hope somebody's taking attendance.
Yes, indeed. I think we all need to say present. Oh, you know how we used to say in school, you know,
uh-huh.
It's like, they used to get call your name, Irene Cabot, present, and then somebody else would say here, and then, you know,
right.
I don't know where that came from, but you must have took me there, okay?
Yep.
Well, yes. So I have a question I wanted to ask. You know, what two steps? If you have more, that's great. But can you give two steps for parents to be able to honor their children and themselves, you know, during the stressful time that they may be going through?
Yes, 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 yes. You know, many people are talking about mindfulness right now.
Yes.
Mindfulness is like mini meditation, staying in the moment. We both have a friend, Naomi Faye, who practices the pause. And that's a really, really important piece for parents and children. For parents themselves, when they're feeling frustrated or overwhelmed, because many times our sensitive children can be very assertive and very aggressive. I mentioned earlier that sometimes they withhold and they don't speak or communicate, but a lot of times they'll be really pushy because they know what they want. And my advice for parents is, if you have to have an answer right now and you're not ready, the answer is no. And then give yourself time and space for the parent to take some deep breaths, sit in their bodies, feel more stable and sure about themselves so that they can then, you know, make a better decision. Because when our children are upset, we are upset. And it changes our chemistry. It sends us into hyperdrive, and we're no longer thinking with the wisdom of that we were given as parents. So one of the things that I would say is, first of all, is to, you know, follow your breath, take a nice deep breath, give yourself a timeout, you know, parent timeout, because you need a little space. Then also, to see your child as a bigger picture, really see your child as bigger than the school system, bigger than the homework, bigger than trying to get them out on time, bigger, you know, especially when you're not in a push and shove situation. I know for myself and from other parents that I've spoken to, very often getting a child to leave the house in the morning is not easy, and especially if they're going into a situation that they're not happy about, possibly going to school. So there are times that it's important to plan ahead of time, but also to see your child as the bigger light, the bigger picture that they are, and to teach your child the breathing exercises. So in the morning when they get upset and they don't want to get out, as you're centering yourself, you can help center them and tell them, look, I know you have, you know, you've got more going on than this. I know you've got a lot of things going on and that you're here for more than what the school is seeing you for, but this is something that we also need to do. We live here in the physical world. So the two steps is, one, to do your breathing, and to prepare. I have some of those, you know, ways to help a child prepare. If you know you're going to go visiting a family and that doesn't always go well for the child, or sometimes they can't stay that long, then you might need to know that ahead of time and set up an exit plan for yourself. You know, you'll know that other people are going to stay till 7 and you're going to be leaving at 4:30, 5 o'clock. Instead of fighting it, you know, kind of go with the flow and be okay with the fact that that might happen and you might need to be different and stand out and you might have to make a different arrangement for your child. Basically, those are the two things, to plan ahead whenever possible and to breathe so that you're in your own space. And always go into your heart. Always go into your heart. Thank you so much for saying heart quarters earlier, because your best decisions for your child is always going to be in your heart. And that may go against what some of the conventions think you should be doing with your child, but it will truly guide you in what's best for your child. And then, you know, then you will work together and you'll plan together, and your child will respect you and appreciate that you get them.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful, that's beautiful. And I love what you said about, you know, that is priceless, Irene. You just need to coin that, you know, in terms of parents putting themselves in time out. And it puts a different spin on time out, really. I mean, come on. It puts a different spin on time out. You know, now time out is not really set necessarily a bad thing for children to be able to see that their parents tell them, I have to go in time out. Then they can know that the times when the parents say you need to go in time out, that it's a time for them to do the same thing, the very same thing that the parent is going to do. The parent is intentionally taking themselves to a space, the pause, the still point, I like to call it, where you are going to be more of who you are. You're going to start grabbing and gravitating more towards that God essence in yourself to be able to become that love, you know. And then when you get to being that love, you can overflow that cup. You stay there as long as you need to, because time out is as long as you need to. And if they see their parents, you know, taking more time in time out, okay, well, no, I'm not ready to come out of time out yet. You know, usually the child would say, can I come out of time out? You know, so the parents is like, well, no, I can't come out of time out. I still have to feel more. I have to do more. You know, and whatever wording they need to say it to the child, they can get it across to them, you know, because they speak similar languages, because they came from the same clan. And so the language is going to kind of get through in some way. So if they go to, that's a very big step, Irene. Thank you. And
yes, it is.
You know, parents being able to stop, then they can see. They can see after they get into that space and they begin to grow that love. They get it back. You know, where it was drained by their fears or their judgments or their not seeing the child as the child really is, the entity, the being that the child really has come to be, that soul essence of the child is not being seen until the parent actually goes back to source and sees the soul essence and know that there's no separation and that the other person is just actually reflecting back to them who they actually are. Thank you so much for that. And then see, this is the reason. If anybody asks me, why is Irene on the playground today? I would tell them, this is why Irene is on the playground today. Because one thing that I've seen with you in my circles with you is that you, one thing you do bring, and that is a center of love and joy to every circle, every gathering that I have participated with you in. And we met in New York, and it was a beautiful meeting, and you were one person that stood out for me in that group. Because, I, you know, I kept thinking about you later, you know, and what are you, well, I wonder what she's doing right now. You know, you just pop up in my mind. And when we've been meeting, in the meetings that we've been meeting, you really reflect back to people that love. You know, you do it in your saying, I don't know something. You do it when you just come out after someone has said, a bunch of people have said a whole lot of things, and all of a sudden, the summation is, well, here's Irene. Okay, and it's beautiful because sometimes you wait, sometimes you don't wait, but it's a beautiful entry and a beautiful exit being one and the same the way that you operate. So thank you for being that center of love and joy. So with that, just can you share with me, like, how has your work changed you?
Wow. Wow. I'm good. Well, first of all, thank you so much for what you said and how you recapsulized that, because it was very powerful. I just want to say one more thing before I go into how it changed me, because it has. I want to help parents know and see that contrary to anything external, their children are not broken, that they are evolving, and that there are many more ways that they need to hold these sensitive children accountable, where they kind of get away with stuff because we think they're struggling and they're having a hard life and they're very sensitive and nobody likes them. And, well, you know, when I sit with them, we kind of find out why nobody likes them. And sometimes nobody likes them because they're not showing up in their heart self. And it's really important for us to see these children as magnificent and not as broken, and because we need to hold them a little more accountable for the light they are. And with that, I think I would have to say the same thing about my own self. That working with these children, I need to show up. You know, when I'm here with the children and their parents, I need to stay in my heart. I need to live in the center of love and joy and in my truth, and really trust my higher guidance and my sensitivities, where, you know, maybe other times in life I'm not called to do that or kind of really forced to do it. When I'm sitting in front of these children, they see me. They know I know. And I can't make believe I don't know. I can't make believe that I don't know they're divine, because I know they're divine. And they know I know they're divine. You know, I know they're here for a higher purpose. I know their love and their light is here to raise the vibration so that we feel the oneness of each other and of all things around us, that we're called to be that light in the world all the time. They call me on it. You know, whether they say anything or not, they call me by showing up. And I don't know how much time we have. Do we have time for maybe like 5 more minutes for a little story?
Well, we have one minute, and I wanted to ask you a question.
Ask me the question. No, I won't have time. Go ask me the question.
I don't want you to go, though. Please stay on the playground.
Love you.
Well, I'm going to have to surely bring you back again. Yeah. Abbreviate the story, though. It probably has to, because you've been very psychic during this whole thing. You've been answering questions that I've been about to ask you. But my question was, you know, it's just one mind and one heart and one soul and spirit. What is your message to parents who may feel that they're failing as a parent?
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's really, really hard. My message to them would be to call on their higher self, their belief in God, whatever it is, and ask God to show them why this child is in their life, because parents and children, they have the strongest bond of anyone in the world. They have a contract, a pre-life contract, that they were brought into this purpose together. If they need to ask for help, then, you know, they can go out and ask for help, but they're going to probably have to find spiritual help rather than you know, a more lower energy, lovely, psychological or something. But they're really going to need that to see these children as love. And whatever the question, the answer is love and go into their hearts, but also, you know, try to find people who are guiding them who say they understand, but they have to be coming from a love space. And if they're not feeling that, then go find someone else.
Well, you are the music to my ears. I was going to play a song in the end, but this is, everybody, you're listening to Irene Cabot. This is the last song, so we want to hear that story, Irene. Let's take us out with that story. And I want people to know where they can find you as well. So we got to get it in. Let's get it in. Tell us the story.
Well, we're at, you can get me online, you know, www.centerofloveandjoy.com. There's my phone number and email. You know, there's Irene Cabot, Kabot, at Center of Love and Joy. And you can please call me, email me. All that information's on there, so that's easy. And, you know, I was at a gathering one time where there was a guy who's probably now about 16 or 17 who was 11, and we were called, it was about psychic children and their parents, and we were called to do auras. And I don't do auras. It's one of those things in healing school that I was never saw colors around people, whatever. But this young man chose me as his partner, and when we got up there and he stood up for me to see his aura, Ombasa, he lit up like a Christmas tree. Most beautiful, white, gorgeous, little bit of golden light came out of him. And the moderator says to me, well, what colors do you see? And I said, he's an angel child. And I never said those words before. I don't know if I even ever heard them before. But the energy that this child brought was amazing. And the moderator says, well, you can't read that. It has no earthly qualities. It's pure light. And I'm like, well, he's an angel child, you know. As I turned to walk away, the young man came behind me, the 11-year-old, and he said, before I was born, I always thought I was an angel.
Yeah.
I always thought before I was born that I was an angel. And I turned to him without skipping a beat, and I said, and now you know. And I thought that was the most beautiful validation for both of us, me, who doesn't see auras, and him. It was just such a divine moment.
Yes.
And these are the children.
Moment.
These are the children that are
these
coming.
Are
and yep.
Yes, Irene, thank you for that story, because we all can relate to that. There's so much to be said about that. And we all, and, you know, just from you sharing that story, everyone can probably think of one instance where a divine moment such as that could happen. And if they can't think of it, all they have to do is go into timeout. That divine timeout, that still point. Thank you, Irene, for coming on the playground today. I am hugging you, and I know you got to go home because your mama's calling. So, you know, come back to the playground. I will be looking for you soon.
I'll be coming and playing as soon as possible. Thank you for having
you.
Me. And thank you for your loving light.
Yes, indeed. I'm going to play a song for you. Karen Drucker, We Are All Angels.
Beautiful.
So we're going to go out with Karen Drucker with All We Are Angels for Irene Cabot. I love you, Irene. Much love. Thank you for joining us. And we'll be back on next week. The bell's on. I'm about to out.
All angels searching for each other. All angels who cannot reach the sky. 'Cause we need each other to fly. Do you know there are angels in our midst? Can you hear them? Can you feel them? They're all around you, with you every day. Do you see them, or do you look the other way? It's that man that I forgot to kiss as I hurried out the door. Oh, that stranger that said hello, that I ignored. They are angels.
They are angels.
We are angels.
We are all angels who only have one wing.
All angels
searching for each other. It's so busy, time goes by so fast. I rush through the day, trying to make each moment last. When I take the time to look around, I see sweet angels smiling back at me. Everywhere, at any time, I need to open up my eyes. See the beauty that surrounds me. Now I realize we are angels.
We are angels.
We are
angels.
We are
all angels
who only have one wing.
All angels
searching for each other.
All angels.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.